that the link, login, and instructions that you receive to participate on this meeting are not to be published anywhere, but only to be shared with those directly interested. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature very visual. We want to welcome everyone. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, before the called volunteer to participate virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meeting readings and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool to, or participate in any other ways in the meeting's live chat. We do this in advance so that we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need any technical help, there will be multiple coaching sessions Monday and Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Central on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download files. All right, to open this meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation. And for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer, God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. I'm not on the wrong call. All right. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. All right. Would someone please read What Is How?
Hi, this is Alyssa, compulsive overeater, food addict in Seattle. All right. Hey, How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating in the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Pass.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, this is Michelle C., compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Thank you. The only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions, inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that the individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation in OA meetings anywhere or anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We have Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome all members with open arms. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Someone please read the how concept.
I don't see Anne Marie online. Carrie, could you maybe read it?
I can, just give me a second here. I gotta pull up the sheet. Bear with me, sorry. What are we reading again? I'm sorry.
The how concept.
How concept, okay, perfect. Thanks. Thanks for your patience. My name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota. The how concept. Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive eater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions of the program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us who whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in a structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscious and loving and love that these ideals offer us will promote a sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in the program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and the daily adherence to the program as written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to additional steps of recovery offers us the promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands Him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest on this meeting. Amen.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
All right. Would someone please read the how concept?
I think I'm scheduled for that.
All right.
Reflections for the newcomer. That's what I'm supposed to do. Sorry. So we're not there yet.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, we're on the how concept, so you're next.
No, we're on reflections for the newcomer.
Oh, we're on reflections for the newcomer. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So you're right. Go ahead.
I'm Maggie Rose, compulsive reader. Welcome to
OA. Hi, Maggie Rose.
Hi, Maggie.
We are also glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the how concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover are in fact not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of commitment, communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeals seldom suffices. Doctor's opinion, big book, Roman numeral, page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the telephone or in person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. The family afterward, big book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. I pass.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie Rose.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, my name's Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
Thank you. An excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 through 11. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would ever think of. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled and our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we had been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Heidi.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Welcome.
Thank you. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They're naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it's too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass?
Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Hi, Kelly.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many have exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like a perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is we are trying to grow. We are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Is there another page to that, or am I done?
For the 12 steps?
Yeah, is that it?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, this is Liz A., Ormond Beach, Florida.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Thanks. Grateful, compulsive eater, and food addict. And this is the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, I pass.
Thanks, Liz.
Okay. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
No way.
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool, with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper
Participants will receive timing prompts via chat.
Hi, Ken. This is Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
All right. All right, abstinence plan of eating.
Hey, all, this is Megan in Virginia. I'd be happy to do that.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, Megan. Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
I was not prepared to do plan of eating, so I don't have my handy dandy kit. So I'm just going to have to describe it. So tool one, plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down and called into our sponsor and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. One, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge food. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Three, we weigh and measure all of our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. So I have a food plan that was given to me by a dietitian that I work with, and that is the basis for my abstinence. And besides following the specific portions that I've been given by my dietitian, I use a digital scale to determine what those portions are. I put a thank you for my lovely assistant over here in the corner. That's awesome. So I would put my plate on the digital scale and I would zero it out and then say, like, tonight I had 3 ounces of chicken. I would put the chicken on there, zero it out again. Then I would put my 8 ounces of vegetables on there and so forth. We call it build a meal. It's really clean, really simple. It doesn't make a lot of dishes, which is my favorite part. For those folks who use cups and spoons, we would put the item, say you were doing rice, you would put the rice in the cup, pack it in or place it in, whichever you commit to with your sponsor, wipe across the top with some sort of straight edge, usually a knife, and what's inside the cup is ours, and what's on the outside or clinging on or fall off, that's not ours. And same thing with measuring spoons. Say you're using nut butter or salad dressing. Again, it goes into the spoon with the straight edge across, and that the inside is yours. I've heard people who like wipe around the outside to make sure there's nothing clinging, which is a great idea. Again, I have my entire food plan is in ounces and grams. I actually don't use measuring cups or spoons for anything. I find the digital scale to be so much cleaner. So that's the basic pieces of my abstinence, the food plan and the digital scale. Also a phone, always essential because I can call people, having a good phone list someplace else in case your phone dies or, you know, gets washed or, you know, who knows, phones have that nasty habit of going bad at the wrong time. That's a good thing to have. And then I also have a bag that I bring with me when I go out to a restaurant, which is unusual these days. But I would have in that restaurant bag a small version of a digital scale. Mine folds up and it's very compact and it's really cool. And then some backup foods, such as rice cakes or like some sort of rice cracker, dried fruit maybe, candied, a lot of people bring, just the components to make a meal. I have gotten to restaurants before that I've been used to going to and went to order like the baked potato and they were out of baked potatoes, like they had run out and there was like no other starch in that restaurant I could eat. So like backup foods come in handy. Even when you think I know what I'm getting and I know where I'm going, the backup foods are invaluable. Okay, let me go back to my reading here. Number four, we weigh and measure ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight. And once a week on maintenance. Five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Six, we do not drink alcohol. Seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra stringing that counts. It is the decision to take it. So very, very grateful for the food plan today. In a time where it feels like nothing else is stable, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, okay, what's today going to be? You know? I know that for breakfast, I'm going to have 2 ounces of oatmeal and 1 ounce of peanut butter and 4 ounces of banana and 8 ounces of milk. There is something so rock solid, secure for me in that food plan right now. And I'm really grateful for it. You know, I am thinking through right now, like, I wouldn't say we have food shortages of any kind, but you know, you go to the store and they're out of random things, right? So you, like, I went to the store one day and wasn't able to get my bananas. And that's like, I always have bananas, you know, like it's like the thing I eat every morning. So I am thinking through having some, maybe a few extra shelf stable things that make it so that my food plan is doable. Even if the food store is out of something that I normally use, talking to my sponsor about, you know, okay, how would I work this if they ran out of like milk? Cause that's a big part. So that's a good thing. Just to kind of think through and not in a fearful way. I'm not trying to like induce panic. I'm saying, I know that my food plan is step zero. I know that staying on my food plan is essential for me because the thought right now of being headfirst in the food with everything else is going on is like, that's panic inducing, right? So what I want to do is very simply say, what do I need to do to protect my abstinence in this time? And for me, having a few more shelf stable items that make it so that my food plan is definitely covered was important to me. So I took those steps. And again, I just keep on reminding myself that there is no food that's going to cure what is going on in our world. And so there is no reason to pick it up today. I can stay abstinent. And that way, I pray that I don't add to the crazy that's going on right now, that I don't make a situation that's already difficult and challenging worse on myself and on all of the people that I love and that love me. And certainly me going back out into the food right now would only make things worse. So thank you for letting me share. If anybody wants to take reading and writing, that's signed up for. So it's open. Please somebody think about taking that. And I pass. Have a great one.
Thank you, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
All right. Would someone please read sponsorship? Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of action. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive eater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring are food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity. We follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. So I picked that topic to speak on for two reasons. I love the phrase immutable triumvirate, and I wanted to be able to say it twice. The other reason is, so I'm fairly new in the program. I'm just past 6 months. And as soon as I finished the 70 questions, I began making myself available to temporary sponsor. And because of the way my work was, it was difficult for me to take any additional time in the mornings to sponsor people regularly. So I just had time for my own sponsor, because I'm on a call out system and I didn't want to miss calls. So when spring break happened in the schools, I was able to sponsor people more regularly. And because of the coronavirus, I am really free in the mornings. Not going to get called out probably till September, I'm figuring. And the fact that I have two sponsees and a sponsor that I talk to every morning means that I get up at the same time every morning and I start my day with 45 minutes of one-on-one recovery with people. And it's been amazing. Like, I remember getting close to that 70th question and worrying about sponsoring other people. And it's really pretty dreamy. Like, like what it says, we do not play God. We help each other. We are just doing it together every morning. There's no advice going back and forth. It's simply listening, sharing, and it's amazing. So anyone who's new and who's working through those questions and might be feeling a little hesitation to get close to that 70. For one, the 70th question will take you a week to do anyway, so it'll buy you some time. But once you become available to sponsor, even temporarily, it's just such a good feeling to be able to be of service, and especially in these times, to be able to pepper your day with service is quite a gift. So I think with that, I will pass it on and thank you all.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. All right. Will all sponsors, Howe and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA and Howe? How long abstinent in OA and Howe? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors, you are invited to share by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see a you are unmuted by host screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors, join us on the phone, please. Wait for a pause in the line and press star and six on your telephone keypad.
Sheila.
Hi, I'm Sheila, a compulsive overeater. I came directly to Howe in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds.
Heidi?
Of last year, and I am down 65 pounds.
Kelly.
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm from Pennsylvania. I started OA Howe in December of 2019 after many, many, many years of trying things my own way in traditional OA. I have thankfully embraced the structure of OA Howe and am now a sponsor. I'm available to help get someone started with the first questions. My phone number is 610-724-2541. And just give me a call. We can work out a time. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kay. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into the program of OA in April of 1980, stuck around until I finally got what I needed in Howe in January 2002. My current abstinence is 5,686 days and maintaining a doctor-prescribed weight, about 40 pounds down since September of 2002.
Mary?
I'm Mary G., compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Came to OA in the spring of 2004 in Western Massachusetts. Moved to St. Paul in October 2012, my first meeting was on Halloween, became abstinent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Megan.
Hey, y'all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds twice in program. I've also had an abstinent pregnancy and I'm a relapse survivor. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Jane.
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I came into regular OA in 2011, I believe. And had some abstinence, but would always fall off the wagon. And I discovered Howe, haunted this meeting for a month, and then jumped in both feet September 19th of 2019. So I'm at just over 6 months. I'm down, I think, 14 pounds, have a ton more sanity. And I think that's all I got. Thanks.
G. Greg, G.
Gabe, compulsive overeater. I'm from California, and I'm trying to get on with the program. Thank you.
Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura K. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I came into how in November of 2013. My most recent accident weight was 115. I'm down 70 pounds from my top weight. And 40 of that has been in how.
Tamara?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA in January of 2016. I heard about the HOW program at the Buffalo Retreat and became abstinent April 3rd of 2017. Because of the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight with over 75 pounds lost in the HOW program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019. And I pass. Thank you.
Revital.
Evening. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revital. I walked into the OA rooms in 2004, unable to get abstinent, was introduced to the two-hour OA HOW program format, and became abstinent on May 23rd of 2017. Where I continue to maintain or remain abstinent by the grace of God, the power of this program. Body has released a little over 100 pounds, and I'm really grateful to be here tonight. Thanks for letting me share.
Helen.
Hi, Helen. Hi, I'm Helen, a compulsive overeater. I came to OA in 1996. I found the HOW format in January of 2006. My recommitted back-to-back date is February 3rd of 2020, and I'm maintaining about a 60-pound weight loss for over 10 years. Thanks.
Liz.
Hi, I'm Liz A., grateful compulsive eater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. I joined OA in 1982 and began working the HOW format in 2018. I am a sponsor in the two-hour format, and I received the gift of abstinence on 8-8-2019, and I'm down 58 pounds, 38 of those in two-hour HOW. Liz A., pass.
Mary.
Hey, I'm Mary F., an abstinent food addict in Sarasota. I came to OA in 1985. I started this two-hour HOW format in April of 2003. Been doing that ever since. My recommitted date is December 16th of 2018. I've given away 195 pounds. Pass.
Julie.
My name is Julie B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I started HOW June 16th, 2013. My renewed abstinence date is January 23, 2020, and I've been relieved of 50 pounds.
Abby.
Hi, I'm Abby, compulsive eater. I came to OA in 87. I was in the HOW rooms in 90 with abstinence, left OA, came back to OA, and then OA HOW. My current abstinence dates to January 20th of last year. And I've been approximately 75 pounds heavier and 15 pounds lighter. Thank you.
Erlinda.
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019. And I've been relieved of 63 pounds. Very grateful. And I do not have an opening at this time.
Chaya.
Hi, everybody. This is Chaya P. in Denver, Colorado. I'm very grateful to our house sponsor. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for 32 years, and I'm very, very grateful to be a member of OA. How my recommitment abstinence date is June 20th, 2019, and I do have one spot available for someone who could be flexible with time. I'm on Mountain, which is 2 hours earlier than Eastern. My number is 972-740-6306. Thanks.
Peggy.
Glad to be here and been abstinent since October 1st of 2019 and stepping up tonight and just feel good to be part of this particular group. Thank you.
Lewis.
Hi, I'm Lewis, and I'm Prowess Over Food from Maryland. Came into Howe in 2006, and my back-to-back abstinence dates from January 3rd of last year. I'm a two-hour Howe sponsor, and I've 80 pounds from my top weight. Lewis from Maryland.
Rosemary.
Hello, this is Rosemary in Minneapolis.
Go ahead.
I came into the Rumus POW in April of 2005, and through the grace of this program and this fellowship, I've been absent from sugar ever since then. And my how back-to-back abstinence date dates from February 25th of last year, and I've been relieved of 70-some pounds for the grace of this program, and so grateful.
Lisa.
Hi, my name is Lisa J. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon, and I started two-hour OA How in October of 2015. My recommitted date is February 6th of 2020, and I've been maintaining a weight loss that's somewhere north of 75 pounds for some time. Thank you.
Kelly.
Hi, Kelly again in Southern California. I came to How in October of 2018, and my back-to-back recommitment date is February 27th, 2019, and I'm maintaining an 80-pound weight loss. Thank you, Pass.
Carrie?
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm calling from Minnesota. I came directly into the rooms of Howe September 21st last year, and I'm a compulsive over and under eater, and I've been released of 30 pounds and 39 since my top weight.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 18 years and 9 months of abstinence and OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity. Kathy.
Hello, this is Kathy C., a compulsive overeater in Chicago. Hello, this is Kathy C., a compulsive overeater in Chicago. My abstinence date is November 19th of 2019. I'm maintaining a 75 to 80 pound weight loss, and I don't have an opening at this time. Thanks. Pass.
Laura, did you want to go? Anyone else? Anyone on the phone? Star 6. Kirsten.
Hi. Okay. Hi, I'm Kirsten P. From Minnesota. My abstinence date is June 18th, 2001, and I'm maintaining about a 60-pound weight loss. Thank you.
I think we're done.
All right, thank you everyone. Okay, clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hello, this is Julie B. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Julie B. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Mm-hmm. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to offer service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain and we are lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery in a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
You're here.
You're here.
You're here. You're here.
Because AA's 12 traditions repeatedly ask us to give up personal desires for the common good, we realize that the sacrificial spirit is the foundation of all of our traditions. I thought I'd started it. Okay. So when I came into the program, I was pretty well focused on me. What I could eat, when I could eat, where I could get it, how will other people know, and, you know, just being secretive about food. And so when I got here, I really needed a safe place where I could talk about what was going on in my life about the food. So while I needed the safety, I also needed to learn about the safety of the group as a whole. And things that I would do in the interest of the group's health and wellness. And so I quickly learned that I don't share other people's names and nobody shares my name and I don't share other people's stories, nor do other people share my story. And this was really critical for me, especially because when I grew up, people talked behind each other's backs a lot. And so that I found that very painful, and it's what I learned to do. That's how you showed that you like somebody. You talked about them to another person. If someone was mad at me, it wouldn't come back to me directly. It would come through a circuitous route. So again, I had learning to do, and on a lot of levels. And since practicing anonymity in this program,
it really has grown into other areas of my life, and people know me as being really trustworthy. I just don't share, not about, I don't share information that's not my business. So I don't share about anybody in this program, and I don't share about what I might hear at work or what someone might reveal in my family. I keep that, their privacy and their confidentiality sacred. And so I'm grateful to bring this to my toolbox, and I'll pass with that.
Thanks, Julie.
All right. Would someone please read telephone calls? Anybody got telephone calls?
Carlos Over Food, my name is Lewis from Maryland.
Hi, Lewis. Welcome.
Thank you. The telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend the same help to others. In how, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. This time that we're, this very strange time we're living in right now is for someone that has a disease of isolation. I'm being told by the government that I need to isolate. And the challenge is I'm living in a lot of unstructured time, and I am intense. I feel things and think things more intensely than other people. So the challenge is that I'm sitting in this unstructured time with all these feelings, and I use the telephone as a lifeline. Like it says, it is just an extraordinary tool that really helps me be a part of we when I feel all that intensity. It's a great tool to pick up instead of the food. And so I've been using this tool a great deal over the last 3 weeks or so to help me just gain the strength to feel what I need to feel and not try to control or ultimately not pick up a bite. Because one of the things I'm learning is that it is important to feel feelings. And because I'm not stuffing them down, they come up. So I use the phone to ask for help. And in asking for help, I'm given very helpful strategies and ways I can work to handle my feelings. So I want to thank everyone that is here that gives their phone number out, because I use them. And this is one of the most powerful tools for me right now that I'm using. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lewis.
All right, would someone please read meetings?
Tool 5 is meetings. My name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive over and under eater.
Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problems by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of all of them. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. When I first started attending HOW, I was told over and over and over, you need to find a home meeting. You need to find a meeting where you can just basically go there on a weekly basis and be of service. And so I tried out a lot of different meetings. And fortunately in Minnesota, we have both in-person meetings and then we have also access to virtual meetings. This meeting, when it started, you get the best of both worlds. You get the in-person, but then you also have the online option as well. And I decided to give service to this meeting. And honestly, I've been a person who I've been more of a what shall I say, like our participant. I've given a lot of service by being in the meetings, but not necessarily helping with the meeting. But helping with this meeting has really stepped up my game of, has helped me stay abstinent. Because if I know that I have to go to this meeting, then I know, you know, I have to be accountable not only to myself, but the people that are a part of this meeting. And I've had slips and I've had abstinence and I've had sponsors and a sponsor and sponsee. And there's a method to the madness of HOW, even though it's crazy and probably 99% of people would never do something like this. The method is the structure and the accountability that we provide to other people in the group. And really the higher power that I'm using right now is the group, because I look at all the recovery in these rooms and I realize there's something greater than just me within these rooms. And I appreciate it so much. And really throughout this whole out pandemic, that I live by myself, and without this group, I know I would be signing up for that TV show, My 600-Pound Life, because I would just be stuffing my face with everything that I could find. But because of the program, I'm healthy. I have community that I support and community that supports me. I'm seen, I'm heard, and I'm just grateful to be of service, and this meeting gives me a great place to be of service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Carrie. Would someone please read literature and writing? I think that one is still open.
Possibly Megan?
Oh, Abby B is raising her hand. Do you want to read that one, Abby?
That, yes. Abby can take it. That would be great because I already did one. Thank you, okay, Abby.
Thanks, Megan. Yeah. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you. Learning how to do this. Thanks, everybody. I have to look at the page. It's complicated. Meetings. No, literature and writing. Literature. We study the text Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and alcoholic, compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain truths that we found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it, and the very real hope that there is a solution for us.
Abby, can you turn on your video?
Oh, I thought it was on.
Oh, just check the bottom and see if you can turn it on. No. There you go. Thank you.
Can you see me while I'm looking at the other screen reading?
Yes.
Oh, yep. Okay. Okay, well, I'm here. This is Abby B. in Maryland. Okay, writing. But you could hear me, right? In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we've harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps discern any necessary action. And welcome to anybody who's new as well. We study a lot of literature here. I think of the AA literature as the classics, and we study it because it's inspired. And that's what attracted me actually to OA How, because.
So Abby, can you go back to clicking the Zoom and then we'll be able to see your video again? When you go to the, there we go, so thank you. Yep.
I'm looking at the other page, reading it from the other screen, you can't see me. Sorry about that.
That's okay, thank you.
Okay, learning. Anyway, and then there's the sun behind me. Yeah, so these are really important tools to me. I find that there's so much, I'm an intense person that has a lot to let out and it's very disorganized. And just naturally these tools, you know, reading literature, searching almost desperately sometimes for answers or for somebody, as if there's somebody else who can understand me and express it. I do that with the literature and I do that with writing to sort of allow things out and allow myself to transform and not be trapped, whether it's by emotion or physical pain, physical, mental. And so the program teaches us that we, you know, we do 4 through 9, but we do 10, 11, and 12 all the time. And so we write that down too. And I really believe in that writing by hand is useful. Some, you know, almost magical that it's like energy comes out my arm through the fingers and out onto the page, although I do like to type. But it's like a way to uncensor. You know, my early sponsor said there are no right answers to these questions. It's an exploration. I mean, you're getting honest, but there is no one right way because it's our program. It's our surrender. It's our step one and then two. You know, and so it's a way to transform. And I'm very grateful for it right now, especially with, you know, what's going on in the world and I lost a job and, you know, other things. We all have our personal challenges generally. And it's like I start my day, like this morning I started my day and I woke up in fear and I wrote out, you know, like the sense of paralysis. And then I remember some examples where I had started something that was difficult, like boat dancing, and that I was resistant and I was fighting it. And then I started doing it. And then I was able to do it. And through that writing, people may laugh at me, but through that writing process, I was able to mobilize myself and, you know, ask for help and get real and get active. So thank you. Thanks for letting me participate.
30 is okay.
Thanks, Abby.
All right. Would someone please read service?
Hi, this is Liz A. Trying to unmute and start my video. And
Hi there.
Liz, grateful compulsive eater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done. in a group or for OA as a whole, are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. Quote, a life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working this, the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this I am responsible. And I just want to read a little passage from the big book. This is on page 15. It's from Bill's story. My old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. So we don't go to hospitals anymore, especially now. And but there's plenty that we can do to make this meeting happen. Even a newcomer can offer to do a beginning reading, and we need sponsors to pitch on each of the tools, share their story, and qualify in the sponsor line. And then after a meeting, we can call those newcomers. So I pick up the phone and try to make outreach calls, take food changes. I try to temp when possible. And working with others, that's our primary purpose. So ultimately, this fellowship is about service. And without this spirit, we wouldn't have OA or HOW. And I love the line, our greatest service is abstinence. And I've heard it said many times that we don't just carry the message, we are the message. And working with others is how I stay humble. And it reminds me where I came from. And enjoying being a sponsor and helping a newcomer and walking alongside somebody as they begin their journey is a real privilege, and supporting them. It's been a real gift. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks,
Liz. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Yay!
Hey, service!
Yay.
All right, service! Yay!
Yay!
All right. The Minnesota OA HOW live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line, or press *6 on your telephone's keypad.
From New Mexico. I can't put my video on, but this is my first time attending this meeting. Thank you for welcoming me. It's a wonderful meeting. Thanks.
Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. Welcome.
Cheryl, welcome.
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 Hi, this is Wanda. I am new to this meeting, and thanks for a great welcome.
Thanks, Wanda.
Welcome,
thanks,
Wanda.
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 Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Hi, I'm Blair. It says Robert, but it's my husband's phone. I'm visiting New York, and it's not my first meeting, but this is the first online meeting. Thank you.
Oh. Welcome, Blair.
Welcome, Blair.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Janique. I can't turn my video on either, but it's good to be here. Oh, there we go. Hello, my name is Janique. It's good to
be here.
Hello, Janique. It's my very first meeting ever. I'm just glad to meet all of you. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome, Janique.
Welcome, Janique.
Welcome.
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 Anybody else?
Helen.
Okay.
From Syracuse. This is my first time on this meeting. Thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, Helen. Welcome. Hi, Helen.
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome.
Anybody else? Okay. Awesome. So many new people tonight. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Hi, my name's Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater and a treasurer for this meeting. Last week, we received $13.89 in donations. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi. Thanks, Heidi.
Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. All right, I'm going to read the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Big Book, page 83 and 84. Are there any announcements?
Yes. Hi, this is Sheila, a compulsive overeater. I have a few announcements tonight. Starting next week, the time for this meeting will be changing. We will be starting this meeting at 6 p.m. Central Time. So that's 7 p.m. Eastern Time or 4 p.m. Pacific Time. So the meeting will be starting 1 hour earlier going forward, starting next Tuesday. Also wanted to let everyone know that our Unity Intergroup newsletter is out on our Unity Intergroup website. And that website, it's overeaters.org. I'm going to actually try and post a link to that website in our chat. But just wanted to let you know that there are a lot of great articles that have been written by other fellows in the OA program in this newsletter. And, you know, I don't know about each of you, but I know I'm finding I have a little bit more time kind of being isolated or confined to my home during this time. And so I'm just finding I have a little bit more time to maybe read some of these things. And just these articles are awesome and just wanted to be able to share them with all of you. So again, that's overeaters.org, but I will try also posting that link out in the chat in just a few minutes. Also on our overeaters.org website, if you have even more time, we have some recordings to our convention. So in October of 2019 here in Minnesota, we had an OA convention, and that convention was recorded. And you can purchase recordings for that convention for only $5. It was a day-long convention, so lots of awesome speakers. So just wanted to make that available to you as well. And you will also find that information on the Unity Intergroup website at overeaters.org. Thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Sheila.
Hey, this is Megan. Hi, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I would like to just let everyone who's on the line know that I'm one of the people who finds speakers for this meeting usually virtual speakers, but right now everybody is virtual. So since we have so many new faces out there, maybe folks who don't often attend this meeting, if you would be interested in giving service, if you've been served by this meeting and would like to give back, I'd invite you to call me. My phone number is 757-375-3102 Eastern Standard Time. And I'm looking to book speakers for June currently. And I know we also need people to lead virtually. Also, I think Mary and Sheila helps with that. But if you get a hold of me, I'll get you to the right person. And I'll leave my information in the chat as well. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Megan.
All right. Were there any other announcements? Okay. Literature and books, a newcomer, and sponsor materials are located at the Virtual Intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other abstinence is given a round of applause.
Yay!
Woo-hoo, abstinence! May request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay. And then do you folks have a reading for the medallions or do I just ad-lib it?
Ad-lib it.
Just say whatever you want to
say. Okay, great. Laura. Just been preparing. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. So at HOW meetings, we do this one day at a time, but we celebrate all those days when they add together to back-to-back abstinence. So is anyone celebrating 3 or more years of back-to-back abstinence tonight?
Hi, everyone. This is Howard, a compulsive overeater. I had my 34-year OA anniversary last Wednesday.
Wow.
Way to go, Howard.
Congratulations, Howard. Congratulations, Howard. Happy anniversary.
Inspiration.
Wow. I never think to start with the 30-year medallion. Okay, maybe I need to start higher. Is anyone celebrating 20 years or more of back-to-back abstinence? All right, how about 5 years? I already said 3 years. 2 years. 18 months. 1 year. 9 months. 6 months, 3 months, 90 days, 2 months, 60 days, 1 month, 30 days. All right. And then the last one is the chip of desire. That is not saying that you are, we call it the 24-hour medallion, and it's not saying that you're committing to anything or that you've even been abstinent for 24 hours. It's just saying that to yourself that you want to do something different with food than what you're doing now. So it's just a good reminder that you want to give OA that you heard something here tonight that resonated with you. Does anyone want to take a 24-hour chip of desire?
I would.
All right, Janique, welcome. Awesome.
Yay, Janique.
Hey, Janique.
Good job, Janique. Good job.
Well, if we were in a meeting, we would be passing it all around and putting our good luck on it. So you can just imagine.
Yes.
Anybody else?
I would as well. This is Wanda. I'm a compulsive eater.
All right, Wanda.
All right, Wanda.
No, welcome.
Wanda. Thanks, everyone. I got it.
Wanda.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? All right.
Step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups?
We do.
We do. All right. I have a candle. Okay.
Peggy is Peggy. Stepping up.
Peggy, you're stepping up.
Peggy.
All right, Peggy. Yeah, Peggy.
Come on down, Peggy.
All right, Peggy, do you want to, should she start her video? All right, Peggy, before you, you have five candles: truth, reality, surrender, acceptance, and knowledge. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. The use of these disciplines of weighing and measuring, phone calls, reporting to sponsors, and attending meetings all combine to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves to these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside of ourselves. Each candle signifies a step toward arresting the progression of our disease. The first two represent truth and reality. Without these two qualities, we would not be recovering compulsive overeaters. All right, pass to candle one.
Go ahead, Laura.
Okay, this is Laura. I'll take candle one. Congratulations, Peggy.
Thank you.
My name's Laura. I'm a compulsive overeater. Candle one, the candle of truth, is the keynote of those who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid the ever-present pitfall of self-deception. And I hope your candle one is lit. Peggy?
Yes.
Oh, Peggy, congratulations. This is candle two. This is the candle of reality. And it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds the promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes beyond fantasy and holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows. Peggy, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you.
Hello, Peggy. This is candle number three. This is the candle of surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launching you into the other steps. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief, grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit into the scheme of things. Congratulations, Peggy.
Thank you.
Kristen?
Okay. Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
This is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could not have come this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God and accept that only He can restore us to sanity.
Candle 5. This is the candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can see and hear His pronouncements in our lives. We recognize what it is that we may do and what only He can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift He has given us is knowing ourselves. Even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect. I got distracted. He does not expect his brother sufferer to pay him or even love him. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward. Whether his brother has yet received anything or not, his own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning. And he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Practically every AA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than a 12-step job well done, to watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly filled with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassembled, to see the alcoholic outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people reawaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry the message to the next alcoholic. In behalf of the Tuesday night virtual meeting, I want to present you with a cactus to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers and a reminder to drink your water. Congratulations, Peggy.
Thank you.
All right. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who's celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for an anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries?
Not tonight.
Okay.
Keep coming back.
All right, attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on our website. All right, let's see. And how much time do I got? Oh, I don't have any. That's just fine. All right, I would like to introduce Mary, our guest speaker who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Unmute.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mary. I'm a food addict.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I'm calling in, and I am very grateful to be here with you tonight. I thank you, everybody that has done service for this meeting, and congratulations to Peggy. And I want to welcome the new people, especially Janique and Wanda, who got welcome coins tonight, coins of desire. And what a special thing that is. I first came to OA when in 1985, when I went to my first meeting, I thought it was a little strange. The first thing that struck me when I came to my first OA meeting was there was no scale. I thought that was really odd. I had been on a lot of, I had been on a lot of diets, and I had, I was always weighed in. I mean, that was one of the things we did. And the other thing that struck me as odd was there was not a food plan that was handed out. And that was what my thing was. I had always just been given a diet. I don't know how many times I went to the doctor and I was handed a 1,000-calorie diet. Here, Mary, you know, I was grossly, morbidly obese most of my life. I weigh less now at the age of 68 than I did when I was in third grade. I weighed 160 pounds when I was in third grade, and this disease has been with me since I was a very young child. And I went through what many of us go through by being different in some way. I was bullied a lot for being so overweight. It was very painful growing up as a child. I used to pray that I would die in my sleep at night because the pain of going to school every day and facing what I experienced there, being on the bus or being at gym or just being in class, was excruciatingly painful to me. And I never remember talking to anybody about it. I remember saying to my father one time that how pained I was that the kids were laughing and making fun of me. And my father said to me that he too was overweight as a child. He knew what it felt like. And that I was just to tell myself that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And from that time on, I never really shared what I was feeling with anybody. I just thought that words should not hurt me. And I was hurting a lot. And I comforted myself with food. I don't believe that the taunting or the bullying is what led me to the food. I think I was born with somebody who is biochemically different from a normal eater. I believe I had the phenomenon of craving and have the phenomenon of craving as described in the doctor's opinion. I believe that has been a part of me since the day I was born. And so I went to the food because the food worked. The food gave me that sense of ease and comfort that I was looking for. It's a drug for me, certain foods, and they worked for a short period of time. What I have learned since I came to Overeaters Anonymous and really started working the program is that I have an allergy to certain foods, an allergy of the body, and I have an obsession of the mind. And this is really outlined in the introductory chapter that called The Doctor's Opinion. It's the beginning of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, and it describes the disease. And what is mentioned in that chapter is that the only remedy we know is to be entire abstinence. Well, I never knew that before I came to OA. I always thought that I should be able to eat all foods in moderation. That if I just tried hard enough, if I just exerted my willpower, I could do that. And I had tremendous will for a lot of years. My top weight was 340 pounds. That was when I was in 1986. And I have lost 100 pounds in one chunk 5 different times, only to gain it back. I have willpower. I had willpower to do many things in my life. But as the disease progressed in me, the periods of controlled eating got shorter and shorter. And it got to the point to where I couldn't stay on any kind of a food plan or diet for any period of time. And I've tried just about every kind of diet you can imagine. I've been to a lot of weigh and pays. I've fasted. I have done everything that you could imagine short of having some sort of bariatric surgery or having my jaws wired shut. I did all manner of things to try and control my weight. And notice the thing I said, control my weight. I thought that this disease was only a matter of weight. I did not understand that there is a mental and a physical component to this, and that my weight, my excess weight, was a manifestation of my addiction. I first came to OA in 1985, like I said. I didn't come back after my first meeting. I thought it was odd for those couple of reasons that I mentioned. They also talked about God, and it's showing some of my pictures here of when I was 13 years old. I was 280 pounds about. That was my eighth grade graduation, in my gown and then without my gown on. That was when I was graduating from eighth grade. And then the bottom two pictures are when I was in treatment the first time. I was 34 years old in those pictures, and I weighed 340 pounds at that time. That was when I was in treatment the first time. And I still have that outfit on the left, the little pantsuit thing there that I have. I still keep that, because I don't want to ever forget where I came from. And I came to OA, and then I left for a while, and then I came back when I ended up going to treatment the first time in 1986. I had gone to an OA meeting, and I was given a food plan back at that time. There was a food plan on the table. And on the back, it had an 800 number that if you were needed help, you could call this 800 number. And so I called, and what I said to them was, I can't stop eating. I need to be locked up. Do you know of any place? And they said, yes, here. So I ended up going to treatment, and I was there for 7 weeks. And I learned a lot about food addiction. It was a 12-step based recovery center. And I learned a lot about food addiction. I learned who I was. I learned to weigh and measure. I learned what I could do to get abstinent. And I came home from there after 7 weeks, and I really started working the program. I had a sponsor. I was committing my food. I was weighing and measuring. I was doing the things that we do in the HOW format. In fact, there was a 2-hour HOW meeting in my local community in Chicago at that time. And I really started working the program, and I started losing a lot of weight. And like I said, I thought that weight was my real issue. So as I was losing weight, I was speaking a lot. I was doing a lot of service in OA, and I started letting go of the disciplines of the program. And I believe that the last thing we do in a relapse process is pick up the food. And it started a long time before I picked up my addictive foods. It started with me letting go of calling in food changes, letting go of going to so many meetings, not focusing on my reading and writing. At that time, I'm not even sure that we had to do a reading and writing assignment after a certain number of days. But for whatever reason, I started letting go of the disciplines, and then I gradually started overeating on foods that were on my food plan. I don't ever use the term I started overeating on addictive food, abstinent foods. I don't believe there are anything such as abstinent foods for me. There are foods on my food plan and foods that are not. And I started eating extra quantity of foods that were on my food plan. That's where it started with the food. And then that eventually ended up with me eating my addictive foods. And the next 4 years I spent in horrid relapse. I never got back up to 340 pounds again, but my disease had progressed much, much more. And I was sicker than I had ever been. I used to steal food. I lied about food. I would go into your cabinets when I was at your house visiting. If you were out in the backyard or in your living room, didn't matter to me. I would go into your pantry. I would lie. I would do anything to get my substance. And then I relapsed. And then in 1990, I went back into treatment again. This time having gained 60 pounds, having gained 56 pounds in 42 days, with a relapse, and deciding I'd eat till I died. But somehow there was this little glimmer of hope that I maybe could do this. And I went back into treatment again and spent 5 weeks in inpatient treatment and 3 months and a half at the house. And it just so happens that the man who started this treatment center was one of the people who was instrumental in starting this 2-hour health format. And because there were people that were in 2-hour how who needed more support, and this treatment center was started to help those people. So I learned these disciplines in the treatment center that I was in, and I spent 5 weeks in treatment and 3 months in a halfway house. And in OA, I have not eaten my addictive foods or eaten compulsively for over 30 years now. Why did I come to OA How? If I had abstinence, if I had lost my weight, I was maintaining my weight loss. I was not binging. I was following my food plan. But I came to How because I have a friend who lives in Minneapolis and who was going to OA How and was telling me about OA How. And I saw her life change. I would talk to her on the phone and I would be so upset about some relationships that I was having. And she would say, "You know, Mary, it's a spiritual axiom that every time we're disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with us." And I just kept saying to myself, well, if you lived in this situation, you'd be angry too. And I was so justified in my position, self-righteous position. And this kept going on and on and on as I heard about this 2-hour how format and I saw the changes take place in my friend. And finally, I just knew that it was going to be a matter of time that if I didn't get help to deal with my emotions through more intense step work, that I would go back to the food. And I knew that to go back to the food for me was to die. I knew that. And so I picked up the phone one day and I called. That was in April of 2003. And I called and got myself an OA How, 2-hour OA How sponsor. And I will tell you, I have never looked back. I am the type of food addict and compulsive eater that needs this discipline every day. It fits me like a glove. I don't always like it. I often say I don't always like what I have to do, but I love the results. Today, I have a network of support that I can call upon any place in this country and even in other countries. I have a structure of support and accountability that helps me to commit my food, to do the most spiritual thing I do is in any day, I think, is to turn my food over to another person and to put my food on a scale and surrender that thing that used to be the most important thing in my life. And I'm grateful that every day we have a reading and writing assignment because it keeps me working in the steps and keeps me attentive to my spiritual growth, which is massively imperfect. I will always be a remedial, spiritual learner, seeker. And I have, as I've been on this meeting tonight, and as I was on some of the other meetings lately, I've been able to see people that I was in with, you know, when I first joined. When I first joined, there were no phone meetings. I think it was in 2005 that I was privileged to be part of a small group of people that started a face-to-face HAL meeting down here in Sarasota. And I will just say that last week was our last face-to-face meeting of that meeting. It's been going on for about 15 years. And just over the years, the amount of service at the face-to-face portion of the meeting, it's also a phone meeting and has been for a few years now. But the face-to-face portion was just not attended in such a way that we could sustain it. And I went through a real process of grieving with that. And so I'll miss going forward seeing my fellows. However, with this technology now and with people doing this, I can connect with people. I need to see people. I need to be at face-to-face meetings. And Danique and Wanda, I just tell you, you just reach out your hand. There are so many hands here ready and willing to reach out and help you. You know, I was in such a hole of addiction. And I did not think my life was going to be worth living if I couldn't eat sugar. Absolutely. I thought, number one, I can't put it down. I can't keep it down. And number two, even if I could, life would not be worth living. And I was willing to die for that. And today, because of other people that helped to carry me and love me and support me and show me the way through the 12 steps so that food and those addictive substances are not even go-tos for me, I've been relieved. The problem has been removed. And when I do have anything that comes up where food looks like it may be the vaguest of an option, I have the tools that I pick up and use, and God removes that from me a day at a time. And so I am just so grateful, and I'm grateful to be part of this fellowship and of this meeting tonight. And I thank you all for your service. And we'll get through this whole thing that's going on one day at a time by putting our abstinence and recovery first. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks, Mary.
All right. We don't have any time for pitches. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all of those who participated, especially our speaker, Mary.
Yay. Thank you, Mary.
That was incredible. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
Who offered so much of herself. May we have the reading of Just for Today.
Hi, this is Kelly from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Just for today, sorry, I'm a little bit off here. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only, and not try to tackle my whole life program at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Wow. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true that Abraham Lincoln said, most folks are as happy as they make their minds up to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do someone a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, and not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and believe that as I give to the world, so the world shall give to me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Kelly. All right. We would like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Closing statement to those who are still new to the program, we remind you that what was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove the compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of your life. After a moment of meditation, will all those who wish to please join in saying the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourself. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. All right. A moment of silence to those still suffering. All right.
Thanks for leading, Laura. Welcome, Wanda. Welcome, Janique.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Welcome, congratulations, Wanda, for the step up also.
Yes.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks, everyone.